Light the Lamp. I'm Alexis Downey. Today is Monday, May 12th. And guess what? Well, in case you missed the news last week, the Anaheim Ducks have a new head coach. Joel Quenneville was named the 12th head coach in franchise history on Thursday. It was a monumental day for this organization. A big day with many layers to peel back. That's what this episode is going to be about. We're going to take you through the press conference. You're going to get to hear from some of the Ducks players that were there, hear their perspective of the hiring, and also the perspective of owner Henry Samueli. We have a lot for you in this episode, and I'm excited to take you through all the different bits and pieces from Thursday. I wanted to give it a few days before we put out this episode for this week because there's just so many different parts of that day. Now that hopefully you've had the chance to maybe listen to the press conference, and if you haven't yet, you can find that on the Anaheim Ducks website. The full press conference, as well as the transcription from it, is on the website. Or you might have already listened to our episode of Behind the Bench when we introduced Joel Quenneville to Ducks fans, and we went through his past, the last couple years, everything that happened during his time in Chicago, and where he's at now, his excitement for joining the Ducks. It was a very thorough, raw conversation, and you can find that, as I mentioned, under Behind the Bench, my sit down with Joel Quenneville. So that will take you through some details there, but this episode is just about Thursday, the press conference, and a couple other parts of the day. So let's get started now. That press conference, just a couple clips that I wanted to start with. In particular, why Pat Verbeek chose Joel Quenneville to lead this Ducks team. Some of the similarities he saw with Q's past coaching time in Chicago and how that translates to what he's hoping to see here in Anaheim. Let's take a listen.
Well, I think the easy answer to that is obviously is coaching pedigree and winning has, that's the easy one. I think when I really boiled it down, the decision that really made it feel right was, as I alluded to, when he took over Chicago, how young that team, how raw that team, and how talented they were. I feel we're in that same predicament as the same team that he took over. And I watched, because I was scouting at that particular time, and I watched that team grow and I watched it develop. And I was impressed with how the young kids really took big steps to improve and to become impact players. As to the end of your question, going through this process, this meticulous process that we talked about, I feel comfortable with what we were able to find out and what we discovered. Gave our entire organization the comfort that we needed to be able to move forward and take this team as far as winning and becoming a winning organization to the next level.
A big word you're going to hear in this episode today is the word comfort. Why the organization, the leadership, was comfortable in making this hire. And we heard it there from Pat. Now it's time to hear why Joel Quenneville wanted to be an Anaheim Duck. What stood out to him about joining this team, this new opportunity to jump back into coaching? It's the place to be, according to everyone that told Coach Q. So let's take a listen to that now.
Well, it's been a long time since I went to an NHL game, but the first game I went to almost 4 years was in Anaheim, played in Tampa Bay recently, and I was at the game, and I hadn't seen Tampa live in a long time, but it certainly hadn't seen much of Anaheim. And I watched the game. I was thoroughly impressed at the pace of the game and the skill and the speed that Anaheim had, and they're all young kids, and they're going to be it was a great game to watch. They lost in overtime, but it was I was surprised and I was impressed. Then everywhere I go in hockey lately, everybody says, you know, the place to go. Everybody's saying Anaheim. They got what you had in Chicago. And I'm sitting there, well, I know as the most fortunate coach walking in the day in Chicago, but I certainly feel that this team is on the right track of being there. And, you know, you got a lot of young kids that got some speed, got some skill. You know, we've got some ingredients that we feel that we can make them better as well. But these are competitive kids that we want to make sure that we grow an identity earlier on in the season. And fulfilling that on a day-to-day basis is going to be what we're all about.
All right. As I mentioned, you can listen to the full press conference on the Anaheim Ducks website if you haven't seen it. That's all we're going to have from the press conference part, because the rest of these conversations will give you a little bit of a different perspective of why this coaching decision is such a big decision for the organization. And we're now starting with owner Henry Samueli. He spent a lot of time with the media talking to everyone about the process, why they were comfortable making this decision, the due diligence that not only the Samuelis did as a family, leadership here at the Ducks did, everyone involved. It was a long, long process. They spoke to a lot of different people, not only in hockey, but people that have worked with Q. And you're going to hear about it. Henry Samueli was very honest about everything, and you could just feel his excitement for this new chapter for the Ducks. He has high expectations for this group. Let's take a listen to his conversation with the media on Thursday.
Well, of course, it was a concern. So first thing we talked about is, what sort of due diligence have you done? Who have you spoken to? Tell me every detail. We spent hours literally going through all the details of his due diligence and who he spoke to and what they had to say. It was a very thorough process, starting with, I spoke to Gary Bettman at the league, and as you heard earlier, they spoke to Kyle. So it was really important to Susan and I that we did a very thorough diligence on what happened, and we were very comfortable with the outcome of that. I mean, you have good people who make mistakes. You have bad people who make mistakes. So you want to make sure that you're dealing with a good person who just happened to make a mistake. And I am absolutely convinced that Joel is a really good person. He made a mistake. I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. He paid the price. He spent 3-4 years out of the league educating himself on what he should be doing better, what he could have done better, how to handle things. I feel very good that we're in a good position, and we've made it a top priority for Joel and Pat. This is going to be the safest team in the league when it comes to those types of issues. He's going to be all over it, constantly talking to the players, to the other coaches, to the staff. So I feel very good about it. It was a process. It was.
Yeah, I imagine, too, that you guys are obviously known and have done many endeavors that are very, you know, family-friendly, you know, community-oriented, obviously, that you also kind of had to wonder, what would that reaction be like?
Absolutely
in
correct.
In terms of the look, the optics.
Correct. No, Susan and I have built the reputation in this community, hopefully a good one. And obviously preserving that is really important. We know that there will be negative comments on social media, but to us, it's most important that we maintain our integrity. Did we do a thorough investigation? Are we comfortable with Joel in his current state of health and being and mental wellness? And we are comfortable, very comfortable. And we're really not overly worried that it's going to become a problem. I mean, yes, we'll hear negatives. Fine, we'll deal with it. And I fully respect people who have negative opinions or are going to have negative comments. There's a lot of people who are victims of abuse, and I have nothing but the most respect for them. And we'll listen and try to convince them that we really did go through a thorough process and that Joel really is a good person who happened to make a mistake. So I feel comfortable that we can deal with the situation.
You can be convinced that he's a good person, that he's changed, but the fact remains there are a lot of other really good coaches out there who do not come with Joel Quenneville's baggage.
Correct.
What was it about Joel specifically that changed that lever for you and Susan that made it more worth hiring him than another really good coach who doesn't alienate a segment of the fan base?
Correct. Well, first of all, as you have heard a million times, you can't argue with his record. You know, a younger coach, there's risk. You know, they may have great experience, but do they really have that track record in the NHL? So going with somebody who's been in the NHL, second winningest coach all time, he doesn't have to prove his capabilities. We know his capabilities. And then we looked at his prior record of working with teams, as he mentioned on the stage, who are in a very similar situation as the Ducks. A lot of young talent, ready to break out, and he's done it twice. He did it in Chicago and in Florida, although he didn't carry it all the way through in Florida, but we see how great of a team they've turned out to be. So the fact that he has a historical record of greatness, but he's also being put in a position where he's been in twice before and succeeded twice before, lowered the risk for us, and that's the reason you would go with it.
How much did it contribute to your comfort level when you had a chance to talk to him and lay those things out on the table?
Oh, a huge contribution to the decision. You can read all you want, read all the social media, read the press, read this, read that, but until you talk to the person face-to-face, look them in the eye, hear him tell the story, and he went through the whole story with us, then you make the judgment that this is really a good person, as I said. And he really is remorseful for what he's done. He's learned what mistakes he's made and how he can deal with them better. So we felt very comfortable, but you're absolutely right. That direct one-on-one, it was myself, Susan, and our daughter Jillian, who's involved with the team, sat down with him and spoke to him. And it made a big difference, a big difference.
Did you, Henry, did you feel that you or anyone else connected to you needed to get, say, the blessing of, say, either the league, Kyle Beach himself, sexual abuse survivors, whatsoever? Did you feel like you needed to get the blessing of, from them?
Well, I wouldn't call
before?
It the blessing, yeah. Okay. But we needed to speak to them. We did. We spoke to every one of them. Not me personally, but everybody. I spoke to Gary, obviously. But between Pat and Aaron and others, literally spoke to all of the whole list of what Joel read on stage. So we had to get a comfort level that these people were comfortable with Joel. They believe that Joel was remorseful. He has learned. And he is ready to come back and be a coach in the NHL. So we were very comfortable with that. Yes, we did speak to them all and got a level of comfort from all of them.
People have tried to describe what happened in Chicago as kind of a failure of hockey culture. It was a very old, traditional culture that wasn't equipped to handle a problem like that. You had a GM a few years ago who was also from the old school, very much a hockey culture guy, and he lost his job because of that probably. Did you feel in any way that this is part of a change in hockey? Like, did you feel like Joel's evolution and the things that he is doing are part of taking that next step and getting out of the dark ages in hockey? Because you're not a hockey, you didn't grow up in hockey, you know? You
Correct.
Didn't grow up in the game. So
Correct.
How do you see that as
No, you're absolutely right. There is an old-time hockey culture, but I think the 4 years that Joel spent out of hockey has really given him an opportunity to learn a lot. I mean, from all the people he mentioned on the list he read on the stage. So in my mind, he will be a model coach for dealing with situations like this. I think he will be a mentor to other coaches in the league who can come to him and talk to him. How do you handle situations like that? What do you do? And they'll trust him because he is old school, he's changed. So you made a very good point. The fact that he comes from an old school hockey culture and lived in an old school hockey culture, but now has transitioned and learned what it means to operate in 2025, not 20 or 1980 or whatever. So I think that will make a very big difference in how he operates because he's learned so much over the last 4 years.
Henry, this team, yourself, your family, you've all been very community-focused, philanthropic. What are sort of the plans that this team has or the family has to reach out to that community of sexual abuse of survivors and make them feel welcome in this organization, in this community?
For sure, as Pat mentioned on the stage. I mean, we're already very deeply involved in the community. We work, Susan, in fact, in the foundation does work with sexual human trafficking, and there are so many organizations we're working with in the abuse area. And so the connections are already made. It'd be very easy for us to introduce Joel to those folks, and he can get more involved on the philanthropic side with what we're doing in our foundation. So it will happen, and I'm very confident that Joel will be a star when it comes to working with those organizations. So, yes, that's a very good point.
Henry, to ask about the team, we haven't had a chance to in the last bit here. 7 years without the playoffs, been difficult rebuild, difficult steps forward. What do you see the Ducks are at in their evolution here?
Absolutely, good question. It has been a long, painful process, but we felt that we've reached a point where the rebuild is coming to an end. It really is. And it's time to take the step to becoming a perennial playoff contender and eventually Stanley Cup contender. So we said, look, you know, if we want to take that step, we really should bring in a coach who's been there, done that. And that was one of the main reasons for wanting to bring someone like Joel Quenneville in, because we felt comfortable that he could take us from the end of a rebuild to the beginning of a playoff era. You know, we were a perennial playoff team, five-time division champion. We've been through that. So we know what it's like, and we miss it. And I miss it personally, going to playoff games. So that's one reason we were willing to write a much bigger check this time around than in the past, because bringing in someone of Joel's stature obviously is going to cost more money. But we're willing to make that investment into the team. And we've told Pat, same thing when going out and looking for players, you will have the budget you need to make this a serious playoff team. And you don't have to pinch pennies anymore. Do what it takes to make this a good team.
It's a rising cap. Does that mean spending to it? Whether next year
if necessary, or... Yeah. You know, I mean, he's going to spend wisely. We're not going to write stupid checks. But he will... I told him, you do what it takes to make this a really steady, perennial playoff contender and Stanley Cup contender down the road. And if it means signing big-name free agents, go for it. So, no, we haven't. We told them going forward, you will not be constrained by the budget.
When Pat fired Greg, he said, I expect to make the playoffs next year. The first time he said that in
yes.
2.5 years that he's been here. Do you share that? Do you
feel, 100%.
You expect and intend to make the playoffs?
That is the pressure we're putting on both Pat and Joel, is they know that the fans and the ownership expect to make the playoffs this season. So it's a lot of pressure to put on a coach and on a GM, but you got to do it.
So the end of that there, one of the big points of emphasis is now the Ducks are not afraid to spend. The checkbook is open for this staff here to bring in maybe some big free agents, maybe make some changes to this roster. They're paying Coach Q. That's something that Henry Samueli talked a little bit about, but he wants to see this team become a perennial playoff team again. They have to make the playoffs. He is putting that pressure on Pat and Coach Q. So I'm sure they're going to be feeling it into the season. And you can imagine why this offseason, we already knew it was an important offseason for the Ducks, but now even more so feeling that pressure. So a lot of really, really insightful stuff from that conversation with Henry Samueli. And we thank him for taking the time to speak with everyone, as well as being open to, of course, making this Ducks team take that jump to the next level as well. So now that we've heard from a couple people that were part of the press conference, we get to turn our attention to some of the Ducks players that were in attendance. Frank Vetrano, Ryan Strome, and Troy Terry were there on Thursday to listen to what their new head coach had to say. Also listen to, of course, Pat, their GM, and Henry Samueli, President Aaron Teets. A lot of people were involved in the press conference, but the players took some time to talk to the media. Maybe they weren't necessarily expecting that as they're enjoying their off seasons, but really appreciate them taking the time. And we're going to start today with Frank Vetrano, who actually played under Coach Q while he was in Florida and had a lot of very nice things to say about him. A huge advocate, in his words, for Coach Q. And one of the things he notes in here is how Q makes it really fun to come to the rink every day. And that's something that I feel is very important and kind of gets lost on professional athletes. It is a game and you want to have fun. Of course, you want to win, but that part of enjoying your job and enjoying the journey as a team is very important for team success. So we're going to hear from Frank now and get to hear his perspective and everything that he knows about Coach Q from his past.
I was fortunate enough to play for him for 3 years in Florida, and one of the best coaches I've ever had, and I always tell people that. And he gets the most out of his players. I think you know, the one thing he does really well is he knows how to use you in a team setting, regardless of your role in the team. And you know, him as a person, he's a great person too. So that's what always draws me to Q, and I'm a huge advocate for him. I'm just glad he's here.
Not to say, you know, you didn't, you know, you guys didn't respect other coaches, head coaches here, but what does Joel bring with that regard in terms of his track record, the respect factor, and
I think just his aura when he's in the room, and just the energy, and wants you to have fun. I mean, when you're having fun, it's more fun for everyone. But on a day-to-day basis, he makes it really fun to come to the rink every day, regardless of, you know, you can be having a tough stretch as a team or individual, going through individual struggles, and he knows how to lift you up and lift the team up at the right times. And you know, that's what all players ask for as a coach, is to, you know, obviously hold us accountable to standards, and we go by that every single day. But he just knows how to do that at another level.
Having played for him, what would you describe Joel Quenneville hockey like on the ice?
Make plays, but do it within your structure. No, I think his mind for the game is great. I mean, you'd see when you coach Chicago. Unfortunately, I had to play against them early on in my career, and it was not fun playing against them. It feels like they always had an extra guy on the ice. I think just the offensive part of the game, he just knows how to see and how to possess the pucks at the right time. And, you know, he obviously preaches defending hard, too, and that's where you create all your offense from. So, you know, he's great at reading the game like that.
So one of the things that Q said was he wants to create an identity early when he comes into the locker room. You guys have already started to create that identity. How is that going to change now?
Yeah, I think as players, I think we took it upon ourselves the past 2 years to kind of create that culture in the room, and, you know, holding each other to higher standards. And I think we've done a really good job at that as us older guys was, you know, teaching the young guys what it takes to be an NHL player every single day, and what's expected of us on and off the ice. And I think when you have a head coach with his pedigree and what he's done in this league, and I think it just brings that to a whole another level with his communication, his messaging, and his voice. I think that culture is just going to get even better.
Frank Vetrano there talking about creating an identity. That's a word that we threw around a lot this season, the identity that this Ducks team is forming. And now they get to maybe change that a little bit. They've put in the work the last couple seasons to start creating that identity. But I feel like now with a coach like Q, it's going to form very quickly, and we're going to see it from the get-go. Yes, it does take a little bit of time to get adjusted to a new head coach, but that's what you have training camp for. That's what you have the preseason games and all the early parts of the season. I expect it to be a pretty seamless transition with this new head coach, and what it's going to be a new coaching staff as well, because I didn't mention it earlier, but I want to mention it now. The Ducks did announce over the weekend that they will not retain assistant coaches Brent Thompson and Richard Klune. So the coaching staff, not only the head coach, but it's going to look a little different outside of that. So Frank Vetrano, the first player. Now we get to hear from Ryan Strome, who is always very chatty with the media, and we thank him for that. But he shares his excitement. He got a lot of messages from people all over hockey on Thursday talking about what a great coach Q is. So let's take a listen now to what Strummer had to say.
Yeah, it's an exciting day. I think, you know, right off the top, you look at the pedigree of his career, it's pretty impressive. I mean, you know, Anaheim's probably considered a smaller hockey market, and I think to have the second most winning coach in NHL history, and a guy like that, is it's an awesome day. And it's kind of unique. I've played with a ton of players that have played for Joel, and my brother went to Chicago right after he left. So even though I've never met him, I think there's a ton of connections there. So it was great to see feedback. And, you know, my phone rang today like 10, 15 times this morning with people all just having great things to say, ex-players, people that are retired or active players. And so it's exciting for us, I think, you know, going into a big offseason, it adds a little more fuel to the fire to keep this thing rolling in the right direction. And, you know, it's a good day. I think it provide a big jolt for everyone's off-season training, and hopefully we see that jolt go right through the season and keep things going where we had the needle moving a little bit last year.
Ryan, did you feel like he deserve this chance to get back in?
Yeah, I haven't really followed all that stuff too closely, but just judging by what I heard today, I think everything you heard was very impressive, and I don't think they're just words. It seemed very genuine. I think that everybody involved with the team is back in the NHL, and I think he seems like he realistically didn't have to coach again. I think you might have mentioned that he could have sat back and had a nice life, and and he didn't have to. And I think he took the steps actively to get back involved, and he wanted to be back involved. And from everything I heard, it was super impressive to hear. I think you have a very, very genuine, high-character person that was really meaningful in his words and very careful in what he said. And I think that as someone sitting in the crowd, I believed everything he said. And it's exciting time. And I think for him, his love for the game and his character and his excitement just to want to be with our team means a lot. And it's a good day.
When you have conversations with guys who have played for him, what do they tell you? I mean, what kinds of things are you expecting now?
Today I heard best coach I've ever had. You're going to absolutely love it. Old school, but demanding, player's coach. Those are some of the things that have been said, and it's been overwhelming. I don't usually get many people calling me. I had my phone ringing all morning and just being oh, this is a great day. I played for Joel for half a season or a year. So many different people, active and retired players. And it's nice to hear. I mean, it's an exciting time for Anaheim. I mean, to hear his words about this is the job he wanted. I know that this is a coveted job and where we're at in our development. And it's exciting for me as a 32-year-old trying to push the needle and continue to get better myself and help my teammates out. It's a great day. And I think the Ducks have raised some eyebrows this year in our play, and I think we got to continue to do that. And I think a move like this definitely puts a little onus on us to come back ready to play next year, and I think that's what we wanted.
I really liked how that finished up by Reinstrom noting that the team now has a responsibility to take the next step. The ownership is proving their investment in this team, and the leadership is investing in this team. So now it's up to the players to start taking that next step. And next up, we have Troy Terry, as he is someone who had previously met Coach Q when he was at Denver. Q came and talked to his team while he was a member of the ice hockey team at the University of Denver. And he just shared his excitement, kind of similarly to what we heard from Strummer and Frankie. But Troy Terry has a little bit of a different perspective with this one as well.
Excited. He's someone that, I remember him coming to talk to my DU hockey team when I was in school, and just kind of the aura that he has, and even when I was in college talking to him, I didn't know him well, but just seemed so down to earth, took time to answer us college kids' questions. And and then when I've heard, from a lot of guys around the league that have had him, and it's really nothing but great things, and his pedigree speaks for itself. So we're all very excited, where this whole thing can go next.
Where you guys are at in your evolution here, did you need that kind of voice in the room? That someone with that kind of pedigree as coach, his resume, did you need that type of person?
Yeah, I think the culture here that it's been building, and the kind of the foundation, I think we've done a good job. And I've been here for a while now, and I'm really excited for where we're going. And then when you bring in a coach with that kind of pedigree, and X's and O's, how well he knows the game, how well he knows how winning locker rooms should be run, just that whole pedigree that he brings, and the experience is huge for, even for me. I know we've got the older guys, but especially the young guys, especially for me, we've got a great leadership group, but when you can add, that type of coach, I think it's just huge for everyone, and especially the younger players.
Troy's the longest tenured guy, one of the longest tenured guys. What does it mean to you to have for, you know, Pat sign a coach like Q? And then we talked to this, Henry here a second ago, and he said that basically the checkbook's open to spend to make this team as competitive as possible to go win. What does that mean to you to have that sort of commitment from ownership and management that this team is going to be successful going forward?
Yeah, it means everything. You know, I have been here, and I've been through, you know, trade deadlines where we trade everyone that, you know, I'm close with that's on expiring contracts. And that's just kind of been, you know, the reality of where our team is and what needed to be done. And now it's, you know, kind of ride that whole process out. And now, you know, have a big jump last year, where we still think there's obviously a lot more to, you know, build on. But to just kind of see the whole evolution and see, you know, this hiring of a coach and just, you know, the commitment to really starting to make this thing go now and have, you know, big goals just going into next year. It's exciting for me. That's what I've been looking forward to since I came into the NHL, was, you know, to have those opportunities. And at times it's been hard, but, you know, it kind of makes it more special for me that, you know, I'm very passionate about this organization. I've been here. They've given me, you know, my chances. So just to kind of see the natural development of where we've gone over the last 6-7 years and where we are now, it's exciting.
Troy Terry has been a part of this organization for a long time, something he notes, but now it's a new sense of excitement, maybe even kind of turning the page and looking ahead. There's been so many changes while Troy has been a member of the Anaheim Ducks, and now you could kind of sense, I don't know, it just felt a little different the way he was talking about this offseason, the work he's now putting in and what he has to look forward to, because we have seen some of his friends being traded away. We know how close he was with Cam Fowler, Max Jones. So it's difficult from the side of the locker room with connections and all of that. Troy alludes to that. He's very honest about it, but very honest too about for what's to come for this organization. So kind of a similar theme between the three players, but each of them with a different perspective. And it was really great to have them there for such a big day. Now, last but certainly not least, someone else that I had the very pleasure of speaking with, Chris Jensen. He is a survivor and a friend of Joel Quenneville's who came to support him at the press conference. And we got to know him a little bit better, his story and why his relationship with Q is so important to each of them and what it meant to have someone like Chris at this press conference. Let's take a listen. Great to have you here for this big day. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Joel Quenneville?
Sure. I just, for some context, I'm an old hockey player, and one of my teammates from college was Don Granato, who coached at Buffalo. And as it happens, I had a coach as a child from Chicago who was abusive. So I survived that and kind of learned a lot of things about healing from that type of trauma. And when Q and I got introduced through Don Granato, who suggested I share some of my story with Joel as a means of helping him really develop some understanding about what goes on for that type of traumatic injury. And so that was right after he had gotten suspended in Florida. And really throughout the last several years, we just continued developing that friendship and talking about, you know, what it looks like to heal and be resilient and keep moving forward. And certainly the character that he has shown prior to and after that one mistake in judgment, I think is really worth fighting for, which is also very much a hockey value, is fighting for others. So when I got asked to come out, it was very easy for me to say yes and just share a little bit about my journey and my friendship with the coach.
When was the first time that you guys met?
Would have been fall of 22. I'm from Florida. I live in Florida. So Billy Zito's a friend of mine from the Panthers. So right after he was suspended is when we first got introduced.
And to be here today, you mentioned how much it means to you. But how much does it mean to Q also to have your support here on this day?
Well, this is a position I take is, if you've played hockey for more than a minute, you understand the not just the values of the sport, but what it means to be a teammate, and then the type of friendships that come from being a hockey teammate. It's one of the things that I think makes hockey special. So when I got introduced to Q and we started a friendship, it was pretty easy to recognize two hockey guys just learning how to be friends together off the ice. And even Pat Verbeek's comments about knowing him as a player and a teammate and how that carried into the decision making around hiring him, I think that the character of this of coach is, as like I say, made it as I got to know him deeper, I very much was appreciative of how he's developed players and how I think he's got more to give to the sport.
Does this mean you're a Ducks fan now?
Yeah, I think, if I like fighting for people, then yeah, I'm a Ducks fan. True to form, I ran into a couple guys who work in your organization that were old friends and teammates. So yeah, I'm a quick convert.
Overall, it was a successful, honest, informative afternoon at the press conference, and a lot to look forward to with this Anaheim Ducks team ahead. And one of the other things I wanted to make sure I mentioned was the fact that this is something that Coach Q has been very honest about. He wants to be involved in the community, even something that Henry Samueli talked a little bit about, how overall the team needs to be involved in the community with different organizations and make sure that it is a safe environment that's being fostered within that locker room as well, not just outside the organization, but also within. So definitely something I wanted to make sure to mention and something that was talked about, what it's going to look like when Coach Q is involved with different organizations in the community here in Anaheim. We know that the Anaheim Ducks Foundation does a lot of great work in the community, and it looks like Coach Q is likely going to be an extension of that now. So that was something very positive to hear, and it's a new chapter. Like I said, it's a big chapter for the Anaheim Ducks, an important turn that's being made within the organization as they look ahead to hopefully, with the expectation, I shouldn't even say hopefully, as they look ahead to making the playoffs next season. That is the goal for this group. And now they have a head coach who has quite a history with the playoffs as well. So hopefully you were able to take a couple things from this episode just to give you a little bit of background on what Thursday was like and get you excited about the future of this Ducks team even further. Thank you, as always, for listening to this episode of Light the Lamp, and we'll see you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.